This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
16 minutes to 8, you're listening to your favourite radio station, Joy 94.9. And if you're in Sydney, you're of course on Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse radio station. And tonight you're joined by Dil, Kat and Nelson and Wes MacBang in a chat with Alina, who is a contributor to the forthcoming Coming of Age, Growing Up Muslim in Australia. Now, you, for anyone who's just tuning in, you are a same-sex attracted identifying Muslim woman. And you've had a long journey with reconciling sexuality with religion. And you talk about that in your Coming of Age story. And we just were talking before the break about marriage under Islamic tradition, and there are certain rules and stipulations. One of the biggest ones that I took from your story was that it's a civil contract, and it's not the, I guess, tighter constraint that you would see within, say, Christianity, for example.
Yeah, it's not a sacrament. That's definitely the case. And look, there are the rules that involve it, things like you can't marry your sister, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, which you'd hope not. So, yeah.
Well, with regards to that, do you think your family would have been, I don't know how comfortable they were initially, but if you brought home another Muslim woman and said, you know, I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman, do you think they would have been more comfortable with that?
That's an excellent question, because I almost thought that would be the way that they would be completely accepting. Mm-hmm. But no, that wasn't the case, because for my parents, it wasn't so much me bringing home a queer Muslim woman. It was me confusing the life out of them by bringing home boy one weekend, bringing home girl the next weekend, boy the weekend after. And like anyone who's exploring their sexuality and isn't ready to label themselves, I kept on screaming that I was queer, and I kept on saying that I was same-sex attracted. But in their mind, I was just going through a phase. And so for them, I don't think they really cared so much about the faith. For them, they just wanted me to stop. And my mum was terrified that I'd end up like dead on Oxford Street. Like and she said it to me too. She was so worried that I would just... And I did go to a couple of extremes. And as a young person, I did make a couple of mistakes. And I'm really lucky that nothing did happen to me.
Do you find that... Because I grew up in a family where... And I had a not coming from a family of faith, but I had come from an ethnic family. So similar traditional archetypes that you feel like you have to abide by, or else you're not on par with everyone else. And when you do go through your bad stage, you are hell incarnate, and you kind of did you find that you wanted to just push all the boundaries and for no reason, and you didn't even so much, like for me at least, I found that I didn't care whether the outcome would result in my own death. I was just like, let's just to try and dull the eternal chaos that was running through my head.
Oh, look, I think, you know, your story sounds very similar, if I may, to what mine was, because for me, growing up Muslim in Australia, and my ethnicity is Pakistani, we didn't just hang around Pakistani people. We had Iranian Muslim friends, Afghani Muslim friends, Indian Muslim friends. So culture did play a big part, which meant didn't matter what kind of Muslim that person was. If they were a part of our community and our circle, then all the same traditions applied. So my parents would say, right, we're off to whoever's for dinner. So my sister and I would arc up, and my parents were like, no, you don't have a choice. You know, you're part of this family. And I'd go, for God's sakes, I'm 18 years old, I don't want to come. And Mum would say, well, tough. You know, this is your house. And I'd be like, I'm leaving. And Mum's like, yeah, right. And yeah, I didn't go anywhere for a very long time.
Well, I can definitely identify with that. You have worked closely with LGBTI ethnic minority groups. And would you agree that there's a greater stigma surrounded homosexuality in these communities?
I think what the major issue that I've seen working with people of colour and a diverse sexuality or gender identity is the fact that the family unit is so important to them, that the fact that their community consists of uncles and aunts and brothers and cousins and grandparents and all that, that the fear of losing anyone or the fear of anyone being upset or the fear of having an altercation or having an argument is so great that that causes that strife. Like, I've spoken to people who've taken years to come out, and when they have, it's actually not been as bad as they've thought it would be because everyone knew around them that they were.
Well, I can imagine you'd have a very big family circle, whereas for me, growing up in an Australian family with just myself and my mother, when I came out to my family, it was just her, and I didn't have to worry about my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and what are they going to think, and are we going to tell them, or is that just, we don't tell that's part of the family, or so many politics.
It created hell for me as a child because my mother would say, oh, okay, fine, I'll accept it, but don't tell your uncles.
Yeah.
And so I'd be like, well, if you're going to accept it, why can't I tell them? And she'd be like, I will tell them. And I'd be like, when are you going to tell them? And she'd say, when I'm ready. And I'd be like, no, I get to tell them. And then we'd have this argument over it. And so it becomes really difficult because at the same time you're terribly afraid that you might lose, you know, uncles or aunts. And I have to say that I did, it's sad to say, and I know he's not in Australia right now, my uncle did give me a hard time. And he gave me a hard time for the most ridiculous reason in the world. He was worried about my fertility and, you know, producing a child.
Yeah.
And that was for his getting upset that, you know, and which is just ridiculous because for my parents, they didn't even say that. And the irony is now is that I'm a mother of two boys, not born from me. But yes, I am a mother and my parents are grandparents and they accept that and they love
really
their grandkids.
Great. Because my mother, when I came out, that was the first thing she said to me was, how are you going to have children?
That's and really it's not easy, but it's like telling straight people that they're going to have kids. And I think that's just unfair and ridiculous as well. People need to stop putting their expectations on their children.
Exactly. It's just selfish because, you know, parents just want grandchildren, I imagine, in the long run. You know, I think that's what they aim for, isn't it?
Yeah, well, just jumping onto that, because in my family, like, well, with my mum and my two sisters, we have my mum's surname. Like, I come from a very strong female feminist family. So when I came out, it was the Adler name in our family, at least, that wasn't going to be carried on. Because when my sister married, she changed her name. When my other sister married, she changed her name. After being married, she's gone back to Adler because she says that she's not her husband's family. She's her own person. But she still has had two children, and they've got her husband's surname. So when I came out, it's just like the Adler family, at least our little branch, the Adler family, has kind of come to a halt in my mum's mind, at least.
But isn't that, and I do not want to be offensive, but isn't that just sad? Because my father said the same thing to my sister. Oh, no, you know, and both of us, now I will not have any Muhammad Ali's in my family anymore because you'll change your name and Alina's not having kids. So he was just so upset about it. And this is the irony because both our boys do have my surname.
Yeah.
And,
oh, wow.
And as of today, we have a four-week-old newborn who has my father's name as his middle name. So you can't get any more than that.
Absolutely.
Give my dad that gift.
Well, I feel like I'm doing a community service for the people of Australia. I mean, everyone in my family, pardon my language, is batshit. So you're welcome. You are all very welcome.
Oh, stop. You're that the gene exception pool right now.
You're
stop
the exception
that right now.
No, I do have a question. When you came out, there weren't a lot of support groups for yourself, well, for queer Muslims that you knew of. What groups are available in Australia now?
Well, at the time I came out, there was absolutely nothing in Australia. This is before the internet became as big as it is now. And if you Googled queer Muslims, you'd get hits, but they would all be based in England and the United States. Mm. And that's still the case. You'll still get plenty of English and groups from England and groups from the US and Canada, but nothing in Australia. And I actually made a promise to myself that if I ever got to a place where I felt comfortable enough in my own skin, then I would set up a group.
Mm.
So the group that I've actually founded, the Queer Muslims in Australia, and it's a Yahoo group. I'm that old-fashioned. I set that up about ten years ago, and I'm too old-fashioned to know how to get with the program and do it a little bit more cooler. But yes, that Yahoo group is a closed membership group, and we've got about 130 people from all over Australia on it. Might not sound like much, but inevitably, it's people who are questioning their sexuality or gender identity and their faith or religion.
Well, that sounds like a fabulous support group.
And well, we do what we can.
Look, sadly for tonight, we have almost run out of time. But your book, Coming of Age, Growing Up Muslim in Australia, when is that released and where can people get that?
That's been published by Alan and Unwin. The editors, just quickly say, Amra and Demet, they approached me because they'd heard that I was a queer Muslim woman and they thought, we're going to get a book together about all these Muslim voices in Australia. We don't want the stereotypical voice. We want someone who's out and proud and Muslim and show diversity. So this book is not just about me. This is about many, many fantastic Muslim Australians who are sharing their story. And you can get it off the Alan and Unwin website. Alan and Unwin. I'm just checking how to say that properly. Yep, Alan and Unwin. Or just Google Coming of Age, Growing Up Muslim in Australia.
And we'll definitely link that on the Facebook and Gen Next pages when we upload the podcast.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Alina, thank you so much for stopping by. This has been such a wonderful, substantial, emotional chat. It would be great to have you back sometime in the studio. And that is all we've got time for tonight, it looks like. 7:56. And time for us to head out. Thank you again. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Night.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.